If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Hey everyone, Seth Meyers here. Before the show, I want to let you know that over the next two Fridays, we're releasing the final two episodes of our Summer Fridays podcast series. We've really enjoyed making these special episodes, and these next two are no exception. You'll hear exclusive interviews, including a long-form chat I had with Jason Kander, who's running for mayor of Kansas City. You'll also hear some original comedy, as well as book recommendations. Look for those episodes this Friday and next Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actress Awkwafina from Crazy Rich Asians. But first, let's hear some jokes Seth can't tell.
Here at Late Night every night, I deliver a monologue comprised of jokes written by a diverse team of writers. As a result, a lot of jokes come across my desk that, due to my being a straight white male, would be difficult for me to deliver. But we don't think that should stop you from enjoying them, so we'd like to share them with you now in a segment called Joke Seth Can't Tell. So these are two of our writers, Amber and Jenny.
I'm black.
And I'm gay.
And we're both women.
And I'm not. So here's how this works. I'll read the setups for these jokes, and then Amber and Jenny will read the punchlines. Here we go. Residents in California recently reported a man who was passing out flyers claiming that lesbian sexual activity causes cancer.
Said lesbians, worth it.
A company in Japan has created new software that can help identify possible shoplifters.
Possible shoplifters, or as CVS calls them, black people.
Hey, Amber, what's the hardest store for black people to shop at?
J. Crew, but not because they accuse me of shoplifting, because their pants don't have room for my butt.
A Los Angeles woman is currently raising money to film a lesbian version of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
It's just five lesbians telling a straight woman to throw out her makeup.
But Jenny, you're wearing makeup now.
Oh, that's because it's a special night.
Oh, because you're on the show?
No, because I'm going to Guitar Center later.
Okay. Former First Lady Michelle Obama was seen recently dancing at a Beyonce and Jay-Z concert.
Whoa, what is that? Said white people about dancing.
Hey, hold on. White people can dance.
Prove it. No. Don't ruin it! No. No, that was pity clapping.
A new study has found that men think their meals taste better if an attractive waitress serves it to them.
The study is called Hooters.
The black owner of an artisan lemonade store recently had the police called him on him by a neighbor who thought he was breaking into his own shop.
But to be fair, artisan lemonade store does sound like some white people nonsense.
Okay. I think artisan lemonade sounds good.
You are white people nonsense. No.
No. No. No.
white.
No.
They think it's fine.
That's, that applause is white privilege. If you ever wanted a definition of it, there you go.
Hey, he's trying.
According to a recent study, LGBT Americans are less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease.
So bad news, Republicans, we won't forget.
The city of Boston will soon have its first ever black police commissioner.
Said every other cop, he's got a gun! Hey, Seth.
What?
Why don't you
tell guys, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, come on, just one.
I feel like if I do one of these, I'll get in trouble.
No.
All right. Give him a round of applause. Maybe he's been white all day. Probably tired. According to a recent study, lesbians are 14% more likely to orgasm during sex than straight women. Also orgasming during lesbian sex, men.
Seth, no!
Wait. Let me try one more.
All right.
It's very hard as a white man to get disapproval. According to a new study, teenagers raised by lesbian moms do just as well or better than teenagers raised by straight parents, but they can't dress for.
How dare you!
You told me it would be okay!
You should be ashamed of
yourself!
Black
women and lesbians are liars! Is a talented rapper and actress you know from her breakout role in Ocean's 8. She stars in Crazy Rich Asians, which is in theaters now. Please welcome to the show, Awkwafina, everyone. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Congratulations on this film. This is an incredible accomplishment. First film with an all-Asian cast in 25 years.
25 years.
People have been very excited about it. You went to a screening last night. You surprised people with the screening.
I did.
How'd that go down?
It was fun. I think they weren't expecting it. They were very confused. And then we went to another one and they were more just like, oh, hey, cool, hey.
You know, how do you go about introducing yourself to, how do you surprise a theater?
I mean, it helps if they know who you are.
Yeah.
If you kind of just walk into a theater in the middle of a preview and just what's up? And then they're just like, who? Yeah. So, and they're like, no, we're in the movie. Yeah, because we... So
the weird thing is in New York, I still wouldn't believe a person if they were like, hey, I'm in this movie. You'd be like, get out of here.
No, but I had to. There's a girl with us. She plays Kitty Pong in the movie and she's from Singapore. And I told her, I was like, just be careful because it's illegal to yell fire in a theater here. So the first thing she yells when we got in the theater, she's like, fire. And I was like,
But, by the way, I feel like you knew something about her if you felt like you had to warn her that.
I know.
I don't tell my foreign friends when they come to a movie, just so you know, don't scream fire.
Just, scream fire. Maybe I want her to get arrested. So that's, shout out Fiona.
You have one of the things you got to hang out with off camera were where you were shooting, there were a lot of monkeys around.
There were a lot of monkeys.
And you sent us a video of a very harrowing moment you had with a monkey.
I deserved it.
You did deserve it.
I did deserve it.
I'm glad that you said that, because watching the video, I put none of this blame on the monkey.
He slapped me with his cold, wet hand.
Well.
At that point, I had, okay.
Let's see if the audience sides with both of us that you were to blame.
All right.
Dude, you're the weirdest genitals. I've never really seen a monkey. Oh, you're scared? Ooh, how come you're not scared of me?
Not my best.
Yeah.
It was not me at my best.
It seemed like when... Where was that filmed?
That was at the Batu Caves right outside of Kuala Lumpur. So half of the movie was filmed in Malaysia.
See, it feels like a Malaysian friend would have been nice to you to say, hey, just so you know, when you're around monkeys, don't yell.
Don't yell.
Why are you not afraid of me, monkey?
He was chilling, you know? He was hanging out. And then this other man kind of came at him pretty aggressively. And then he looked at me and he lodged at me. I threw my phone and he slapped me.
Really?
Yeah, he said.
Like in the face, like slapped.
It was a rainy day. His hand was cold and wet, and it was not my best.
Yeah, and they say if you get slapped by a monkey, hope that it's a dry, warm hand.
I know. I would have enjoyed the embrace.
That's good luck, but wet.
That's good luck, but it would have been nice. Yeah. Sure.
You're very close with your grandmother.
Yes.
Obviously, she was excited to see this film. What did she think?
Oh, she was excited. So she went last night at like the 10:45 show and she was like, ooh, your wig. And I was like, yeah, I wear a wig in it, Grandma. You know this. And then she's like, you're not really in it. And I was like, oh, thank you. Wow, thanks. So,
But your grandmother, that's surprising because she's obviously very game.
Yes.
You're also a rapper, and your grandmother has been in videos of
yours. I cast her all the time.
And
yes.
Is she excited when you ask?
At first, she's like, no. You know, she becomes all coy. She's like, no, I can't. And then all of a sudden, it's just like lights, camera, turns into Ethel Merman. She's like Bette Midler in Gypsy. It's just like all of a sudden.
What video is this from?
That is her. That's from my more recent video, Pockies.
Okay, Pockies. So here's your grandmother, and I'm assuming this is not how she usually looks.
No.
There she is.
Oh, my God. She's watching this tonight. She's going to be horribly embarrassed by what you just did.
So, wait, does she appreciate that you gave her $100 bills here?
The director gave her ones. And she's like, you give me one? You give me 100. So we had to go to Chase to take out 100. She refused to do it with ones. She didn't want to appear cheap.
That's great. Well, they say that looking cheap in a rap video is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very,
she knew.
Rarely celebrate frugality in rap videos.
Yes, yes.
You had one of the first things we knew you from was a viral rap video called My Vag.
Oh, you said it.
Yeah,
oh,
I said it. I can say My Vag.
Oh, okay.
That's,
you know, that those PBS people,
you know what? I actually
it.
Didn't think about it until I said it. Now, now I guess.
You're going to get a memo later.
Yeah. And really leaned into it. I don't think any fear or anything.
No, yeah. Very boldly said.
Very bold. Yeah.
Yes, that was a very bold statement.
Weirdly, obviously for, genetic reasons, I've never had any reason to say
right. My
bad.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's weird, you know, you get to a certain age, you feel like there are things, if you haven't said them yet, you're never going to say them.
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor.
It's a badge of honor.
What a yes. Bravo. So when that came out, does your grandmother see my badge?
Yes, she did, and she does. She did.
She does. She does. She has.
You know, and I don't want to bring it. She loved it, and to this day, like even the video that she was in, she's like, "You got to make more songs like that." Nor, I'm gonna be honest with
really?
You.
Really?
She's like, "Yeah, you know, all your other songs, they just haven't cut it like that one," you know. And I'm like, "Thanks, Grandma. You know, great."
Wow, she seems like an interesting balance of being incredibly supportive
and
but
really
also
mean.
Really, really tough critic.
Kind of mean, yeah.
That song did not go great for your current employers at the time.
It did not. No.
So what happened?
So, you know, I was working at what I thought was like the best job of my life. I think what it came down to is that I was really bad at my job. I was a publicist. So like if you ask a publicity assistant, so if you had asked me like at that time what a publicist was, I would not have been able to tell you what a publicist was.
Gotcha.
Or what it meant. And, so like it was my birthday. I shot the video on my birthday and we, you know, how like in offices, they kind of have that obligatory birthday where they order Melissa's. You know what I mean?
Cupcakes.
The tiny cupcakes. Yeah. And so over the Melissa's, she's like, oh, what'd you do? Or your birthday? I was like, oh, I shot a video. And she was like, oh, well, what video? I didn't know you did music. And I was like, well, it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
well,
badge.
You can't be the one to not say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I got to say I said it. You know what I said? and, you know, fired immediately. And then. But, you know, you like last year when we were filming Ocean's 8, I think I always felt like pretty disgraced. And I don't think I ever really felt closure from that moment. And I filmed this scene with Rihanna on this like beautiful, crisp night in Manhattan. And I come out and I'm walking back to my trailer and I look up and it's the building that I used to work at. And it was just like, it's weird how things come full circle like that.
Yeah.
And I think I finally got the closure I needed.
Yeah, I would say if anyone ever got fired from a job, the best outcome would be standing next to Rihanna looking at your old building. Yeah. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Seth.
Really enjoyed talking to you. Congrats on everything. Aquafina, everybody. Crazy Rich Asians is better than that.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm backstage with Aquafina.
Yes.
Star of Crazy Rich Asians, which
Crazy
is excellent.
Crazy Rich Asians.
So, okay, I wanted to ask you this. I saw you perform in Brooklyn a few years ago.
Yeah.
And you were just, like, performing at many different venues around the city. Mm-hmm. And then this summer, you're in two massive blockbusters. What has the past few months been like for you?
It's been a combination of, like, oh, what? You know, like, what? And then also, like, wow, this is, like, so cool and I'm crying, you know? So it's kind of unbelievable. I think that it's hard. I think people like to create moments, you know, and they differ from, like, actual tangible moments that you can feel that materialize into real life. And this past summer, I felt it, you know?
Yeah.
I felt it on my phone, like, looking at my social media and then walking outside, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to, like, suddenly have them. I mean, it's not your first movie, but these are the first, like, big blockbuster leading roles for you. And just to have them back to back is unbelievable.
Pretty crazy, yeah.
It's really crazy.
Yep. And, you know, this press tour has been crazy.
Yeah, so the amount of articles I've read about you in the past 48 hours. It's every time I like, search your name on just, like, Google News, there's, like, three more profiles of you.
Oh, man.
Are you sick of answering questions? Is this annoying?
No, I feel like people must be sick of me at this point.
No.
You know?
No.
I don't know. I like answering questions. I don't mind it.
All right, I'm going to ask you a few more.
Okay, great.
I wanted to know when you started rapping, because I think that's the way people first found you, is, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about with Seth. Like, when was that interesting to you? When did you start?
I started at, like, 15 or 16 under, you know, this insane moniker. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I you know, at that time, like, YouTube wasn't even really a thing. There was no outlet. So I wasn't making it for anybody, which I think made the earlier songs really special. So that's why I believe that My Vag, the song that went viral, was truly a happy accident, because it was not planned to go viral. It was never planned to see the light of day. And that I think was the beautiful thing about it. And so, you know, years later, I was convinced to put it on YouTube.
How did it go viral? What was the first thing that kind of pushed it forward?
You know, I put it on and it got not a lot of views, maybe like 100 views or something like that. And then a friend of mine was like, you should email this to the editor of The Hairpin, because it just seems like up their alley. And, you know, so I caught her on, like, a Tuesday at, like, 5 p.m. And I emailed her, and Emma Carmichael, and she was like, oh, I love it. I'll put it up.
Yeah.
And from there, it just spread.
And you're still making music today.
Sure, yeah.
I imagine you do enjoy acting and making music at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, and I do. I just filmed a movie in China, and I was coming back from set at like 2 a.m. and I was just get on my computer and get on Ableton, you know? So it was just, so how I see it is that music is a permanent part of my life. It's something that, you know, I need to do for my own, my own personal satisfaction. It's my hobby. It's my love.
Yeah.
Whereas acting, it's a privilege. So it's like, I can't choose which movies I'm doing next year. You know, I don't have control over that. So I'm just on that ride. You know?
Yeah. What brought you to acting? What were, like, the first acting jobs or tasks you had?
You know, I got on this MTV show called Girl Code, and that was really my first foray into, you know, non-music related stuff. And there were some sketches on there that required a degree of acting, but mostly, like, improv stuff.
Right.
And then Seth Rogen and Nick Stoller from Neighbors found my video. Seth Rogen found my video.
Oh, great.
And asked me to audition for Neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first real audition, my first time putting myself on tape.
Yeah.
And I got the role, and then I went to Atlanta.
What was that first audition like?
Sorry, I just hit myself in the face with the microphone. did you get a spike there?
Jay is nodding.
It was scary. It was scary, but, you know, it was a self-tape. So I was, like, in my kitchen, next to my air conditioner. And it was, you know, I didn't think I would get the part at all.
Right.
And then I think the first real pinch me moment I had was it was a late night shoot, and I just was in a room with Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron, and Chloe Moretz, and it was crazy.
Yeah. What was the casting like for this film? Because the cast is from everywhere.
It
How
is.
Did they find you, and what was it like for everybody else?
You know what? The casting in this movie really has to go out to John Chu, who specifically asked the studio for more money to cast a broad range. He wanted to do this right. And I think that the general excuse in these scenarios is that, well, there's not a lot. There's not enough of them, and we don't know where they are. And I think that he refused to take that as an answer, and he searched literally far and wide. And what he did was he cast everyone in the most authentic way possible. And I think mm-hmm. that when you make movies like this, there needs to be the kind of attention that he paid to that process, because it's so fragile and it means so much because it adds to the whole product. And for me, I saw this book in a Hudson News at JFK. Mm-hmm. And even as a book, I was like, this is bizarre. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Uh-huh. Crazy Rich Asians, an audacious title,
profile
of a woman. Yeah. And then I looked at the back and is a modern day love story. It wasn't about anyone fleeing a country. It wasn't a war torn, mm-hmm. Roots trip home. Right. It was a modern day love story that centered around an Asian American woman. And when I found out they were doing this into a movie, I just realized this was big. This was bigger than I'd ever imagined.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even ask to be a part of it. I was just excited for it. And they were doing open castings, and eventually I got the chance to audition for Paik Lin. And I went in, and John made me speak Mandarin because he needed his actors to be at least be able to do that, I guess. Uh-huh. And I did, and I surprised him, and that was it. And then I didn't hear until 2 weeks. So maybe like months later, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
2 weeks before I went to Singapore.
You're so, so, so funny.
Thank you.
Reading that you improvised most of your
lines. I'd say like a lot, yeah.
I mean, I would also just love to see the outtakes, because what's in the film is just so damn funny. What was it like doing that around people who are scripted?
It's fun, and I think the most important things in relationships like that is the trust that a director finds in his actors, and John Chu truly trusted me.
Yeah.
And the most horrible thing is like when Yana said is like if you do improv and then the director's like, let's keep it on book. That was really good, but let's
try
keep
some
it on book.
Different next take.
Yeah. You did that one already, we have it, so let's just so that's like the worst feeling ever. It's a small death. But John Chu never did that. If there was a line that one of us accidentally said, he'd just say expand on it, and it was a gift.
You are very gifted at it. I will say it is such a pleasure watching you. The movie's excellent. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
congratulations on an insane summer.
Thank you so much.
All right, come back soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, I will.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.